I have a message about, basically, it's I want to go full circle. I have an objective here. I always have an objective. What I'm trying to communicate is, but my objective is that to go over the verses in the Bible where unsaved people hate God. We don't really hear much about that, but the truth is the Bible teaches unsaved men hate God, and the Bible teaches we all, unsaved, are evil. We're inherently evil. Even us as Christians, we have evil in our hearts. We say things are evil. We think things are evil. And then the devil can put ideas in our minds that are evil, but sometimes we let those things hang around our minds. And we just don't let them, we just don't always reject them right away. We kind of entertain some of those ideas, especially when they fit within our own chemistry. And I kind of like the idea of this or that or whatever. And so we have evil hearts. And so, but then the contrast to this, what I'm going to try to show is the mercy of Jesus. Okay, that he is merciful to us, even in our dead in trespasses and sin state, even in our state where we hate him, which is hard for people to understand, and even in the state where we're actually evil. So let's just open up in a word of prayer, and I want to just try to go over a few Bible verses with you this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God, which is forever settled in heaven, Lord, that you will teach us from your word. Lord, we don't have just fables and fairy tales that are here. Lord, we actually have the word of the true and living God, which Lord, you have given to us so we can depend on. And Lord, we ask that your name might be magnified. Your word tells us that whatever we eat, whatever we say, whatever we do, we should do all to the glory of God. And so, Lord, I pray that this message would have that in mind, that you would be magnified and glorified through this, showing, Lord, actually how good you are to us as sinful individuals. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If you went up and took a survey, you took a yellow notepad, and you took a survey over here at the Peaberg Mall and went out to 100 people, and you said to them, do you hate God? Okay, and you hate God, and you're going to get probably 99 or 100% of the people are going to say, no, I don't hate God. I don't hate God. They'll say, maybe I don't do everything that God wants me to do. I don't live right or whatever, but I don't hate God. All right, that's what people will say to you. Now, I must confess to you, I myself, even when after I was a Christian, and somebody said to me that, you're a hater of God before you're saved. I said, no. I said, yeah, I never hated God. I never sat down and said, I just hate you. You know, I never said that, you know. But most people would kind of have the same attitude, that they would say, I don't hate God. But that's not how the Lord sees it. See, we have to see things from his perspective if we're going to get the proper view on man and whether what goes on with respect to hating God. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. And when we're dealing with the unsaved people, here's what Paul the Apostle says about the unsaved person. And I'm going to start reading at verse 26. Romans 1, 26. For this reason, God gave them over to vile passions, even the women that exchange the natural use, which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned with their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due. By the way, they receive in themselves the penalty of the error, which is due. That might be AIDS. That might be this HPV stuff that's going around. Up at this Zuccotti Park, or whatever this thing is up in New York, all kind of people are now being tested for AIDS because they're having like free sex and free love, and they're just going wild nuts up there, okay, with all kinds of sexual shenanigans. And now a whole bunch of people are running off to be tested for all these things because they've had these last 2, 3, 4 weeks of this free love festival up there that actually the media doesn't talk about too much. But that's actually what's going on at night. It's just like a barnyard up there, and they're just running around and. But anyway, they receive in themselves, dependently of the error which was due, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's what's going on with all people that don't love the Lord. God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things that are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, that's that stuff, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, hate, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, what? Haters of God. That's what the book says. Jesus wrote this word. God wrote this word. The Holy Spirit wrote this word. This word says that people that are unsaved, they actually hate the Lord. And I'm going to say something to you tonight, especially some of you young people. There's a few young people in here that are fiddle-faddling around with the Lord. You know what the Bible teaches about you? The truth is, the book says, you actually hate the Lord. You actually really do. Now, you'll never say that out loud, especially your mom and dad. Okay, but that's what God's word says. It says you actually hate the Lord. That's why you won't submit to Him. That's why you won't submit to. That's why you'll play games. That's why you'll talk one way when you are at home, and then you're going to bring your Bible into church, little Billy Bible. You're going to go marching down the aisle, little Billy Bible. Okay, as you come into the house of God, letting everybody try to think what you are, but you're really not. Okay, because you're a phony, and in your heart, you really hate the Lord. Okay, those of you that have used evil language, okay, watch evil shows on television. Those of you that will hear evil jokes and laugh right along with them. Maybe you might even tell the evil stories, okay? All right, but the reality is the book says that you actually hate the Lord. That's what it says, okay? Now, I didn't make it up because that's what it says. Let's take a look at John 15. Where Jesus refers to the world as the people that hate Him. John 15, verses 18 through 25. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Where's Greg? There he is. Okay, when Greg is passing out tracts, like I should be passing out more like Greg, but the truth is I passed out a few, he passed out a lot, okay? When he is out talking to people, the truth is they hate him. They hate what he says. Now, nobody's coming up with a hammer and hitting him or something like that, okay? Because right now we live in a law-abiding society. But you go over to a Muslim country, okay, and you tell somebody about Jesus, they will hate you, and they will come to you sometime that night, and they will break into your house. They will steal your children from you, okay? They will burn your house down. All kinds of things are going on over in Egypt since that country flipped over this past spring, okay? All kinds of things are happening to Christians over there, okay? Because they hate the Lord, they hate His word, and they hate His people, all right? And this thing is growing and growing and becoming more and more pervasive. And we need to understand what people actually really think of us, because then it gives us a proper perspective of how to really deal with them, of how Jesus really dealt with them. I mean, let me continue reading on here. Verse 20. Remember the word that I spoke to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have had no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. When the Lord says I better read the next verse. Then if I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. They hate the word. They hate the Lord. And that's why they actually took Jesus and they hung him on a cross. They actually sat down and contemplated how they could get rid of this guy. I'm going to try to cover the story of Lazarus tonight if I have enough time. But it's a staggering thing that if I can get there along this far tonight. But when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, you would have thought that everybody would have said, whoa, this guy has staggering power. Okay, he must be a prophet, or maybe he's the Son of God, God on earth. Maybe he's actually who he says he really was. He is who he really says he is. Okay, but no, that wasn't the reaction. As soon as Lazarus was raised from the dead, they hated him so much, they sat down to have a meeting to how are we going to kill him? That's exactly what the consensus was. After seeing a man actually raised from the dead, they actually said, let's go kill him. How can we get rid of this guy? which is completely contrary to how what the reaction should have been. If you really, truly want to do what's right before the Lord. Proverbs 8:36. Jan pointed this verse out to me a couple of years ago. I just want to go over a couple of things about this. This is, I call this the Halloween verse. Proverbs 8:36. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me, what?
Love,
they love death. That's what Halloween's all about. It's all about death. All these ghouls and goblins and all kinds of stuff. Every kind of wicked thing you can possibly imagine, and the more gory and evil and all kinds of things that you can come up with, the people just love it. They say that Halloween is becoming a bigger holiday than even Christmas. But when you think about it for a minute, all of those people that love death, all right, they hate the Lord. There used to be a group, I don't even know if it's around anymore, but it used to be called the Grateful Dead, okay? And then the guy that ran it, this Garcia guy, he himself died, okay? I doubt that he's grateful that he's dead now, you know, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's no way you're getting around the judgment, okay? That judgment is sure. That judgment is certain. That judgment is fixed. You are not ever going to get around that judgment. Everything is recorded. It's appointed unto man once to die. I got to tell you a little story, something that happened to me over here in Powhatan Township. I'll give you a little tip also. Over here at the intersection of Route 519 and 22, you know where the Easton Peaberg Honda is? Okay, well, they set up a new traffic light there with a camera. All right, and then if you go through the light, all right, you're going to get a ticket. All right, if you go through the light when it's red, you're going to get a ticket. But if you're going through and it's yellow and it changes to red, you get a ticket. Okay. Plus, they double dip on you because if you go to make a right turn on red, which is legal there, all right, I did that. All right, but I didn't stop 100%. And then so I got a ticket. All right. Yeah, I did. I did. I got one, a photographic ticket. The guy sends it in the mail, you know, and it says $85, but no points. And I said, oh, this is great. At least no points. You know, I didn't want that. So anyway, I have the alarm system over in the Powhatan Police Headquarters. Okay. So I figured I would go over and I would say to the guy, the chief and that stuff, come on, you know. He says, nah, Fox, no. He said, and then put it on the computer. And then I said to him, there's a picture of my car with the red lights on it at the intersection. So I said, see, I stopped. He says, no. He says, let's see what the computer shows. So they roll back the tape. All right, the tape, the judgment day, okay? Now, this is what it is, judgment day, okay? And it shows me going up to the intersection, and I did not stop, okay? I did not stop. When I first got the ticket, I thought Carol did it, okay? I would never break the law like that, no. But anyway, they showed me the thing, and I got the ticket, and that's okay, all right. But what I'm trying to say is it was recorded. Yes. All right. That's really what I'm trying to say. That little ticket was recorded. All right. And so it was I had no way out of it. The guy was right there with me. He showed, this is the thing. We right here. You are right there. Boom. You know, that's it. That's what's going to happen to us on Judgment Day. OK. You hate the Lord. You want to do evil. You want to talk evil. You want to talk hatred talk. You want to fool around with the things of the Lord. Mock the things of the Lord, be in your heart, behind closed doors, okay? Watching things on television, listen to this character like this Bill Maher guy who does nothing but mock God from morning to evening. Okay, he's the guy for our generation. There was a guy generations a couple of years ago, his name was Robert Ingersoll, okay? It had nothing to do with Ingersoll Rand. He was a big mocker of the Lord. And every Darwin, you know, all of these guys, there's always somebody out there that's going to mock the Lord. But it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. What I'm really driving at here tonight is they hate the Lord, and we are full of evil. I just want to go to a couple of verses. My clock is running away from me. Go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. They hate the Lord. And the truth is, the reason we hate him is because we inherently are evil. We inherently are evil. This is even said to Christians and to some of God's people here. It says, if you then being evil, now Sean quoted this verse this morning, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? The point is, Jesus is saying that we are evil. We actually are evil. And even I, honestly, I have evil thoughts that come into my mind, in my heart. I think the devil does bring some evil thoughts into my mind. But the truth is, I let them stay there. Okay, I'll let them fester, or I'll think about them, or I don't remove them right away. Okay, because frankly, let's be real. We're being real here tonight. Okay, I'm a sinful guy, and some of those ideas I actually like. Okay, and so I'll kind of entertain them, but then after that, the Lord will convict me, say, no, you shouldn't even be thinking like that, or you shouldn't be talking like that, or the way that you presented yourself, or the things that you saw some girl, guys, okay, we're talking real now, all right, and we think things, and we kind of let these things entertain in our mind. They're sinful, and they're evil, even us as Christians. We need to submit ourselves to the Lord. I mean, Pastor Tom has often said, they pulled that screen down and ran any one of us in this room the last 1 hour, just 1 hour of our life in our mind, okay, we'd crawl out of here, okay? Nobody would want to have anything like that exposed, okay, of what our minds have thought. The reason we do that, because we're evil, okay? Even us as Christians, how evil we actually really are, okay? But so what I've established here so far, I think, is that we truthfully, we really do, before we're saved, we hate the Lord. In our hearts as Christians, we really are evil people, okay? And we don't love him like we really should. But comes the great exchange. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Pastor Spurgeon called this verse the great exchange. So that's why I kind of hopped on his wagon here, you know. This is the great exchange in the universe. Right here it comes. This is what happened to my sins, what happened to your sins, if you're really saved. Okay, this is the mercy. And I'm done with the evil part. I'm done with the hating part. But now here comes the Lord Jesus and God the Father. Verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, that's God the Father, made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Jesus actually, not only did he take my sins, he actually became sin for me. Okay, he actually took my sins, he actually became sin for me. Okay, the rest of that verse says, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And I try to plug my own name into these verses. In my own Bible, in many places, I actually have the word I or me or that kind of stuff actually scratched out. And then what says, I put in here Tom Fox. Okay, so I could read this like this. For he, God the Father, made him who knew no sin to be sin for Mickey Hamilton. That Mickey might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Amen. Okay? My brother Mickey, Jesus actually bore all of Mickey's sins. Okay? All of his sins. And put them on the Lord Jesus. All right? And then Jesus became sin for Mickey. Okay? That Mickey might become the righteousness of God. The actual righteousness. Think about this. He became Mickey now, has become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Okay? Because what God the Father did by sending the precious Lord Jesus to the cross to die for Tom Fox's sins and Steve's sins and Mickey's sins and every one of our sins in this room, okay, that love him. There's either two type of people in this room, truthfully, those that love him in our hearts, but we don't live right. That's the truth. We don't live right like we should. None of us do. Okay. Or those that actually really do hate him. And there are these undercover Christians. They try to act like Christians and that kind of stuff in the right environment. When they're environment of unsaved people, their real true colors will actually really, really, really come out, you know. The Lord is so merciful. The Lord is so merciful. Why, I go back to John 15. I got to tell you actually what happened here. The thing that really prompted me for this little message. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, Pastor Tom was reading John 15. He didn't preach from John 15. He didn't do anything from John 15 except read it. Okay, I was sitting in that pew. He read these following verses. Okay. John 15, starting at, I'll start at verse 9. And this is what Pastor Tom was saying. And this hit me like a ton of bricks. I never, ever saw this before, okay? I never saw this before, but I'm going to show you. Maybe many of you have, but honestly, I never did in all the years that I've been saved. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Now, I knew that, and I'm okay with that. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you and abide. I loved you. Abide in my love. Because I did know that God the Father loves Jesus, and as God the Father loves Jesus, Jesus loves me. I did hear that, and I was taught that. Okay, I do believe that. Okay, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. That's His commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Great. Now here's where it really hit me. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for who?
His friends.
His friends, okay? You're my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. Now, I got to tell you something, the truth. I never, ever saw myself as God's friend. I've never, in all the years, I've been saved for 40 years, I've never seen myself as God's friend. Okay? I saw myself as His child. I saw Him as my Father. I saw Jesus as my keeper, and He would watch over me, but I never saw Him as my friend. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why. In the book of James, keep your finger right here, we're coming right back. Go to James chapter 2. I never saw this because of this reason. It's right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 2. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the what? Friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. Moses, the Bible says, spoke to God face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. So I said to myself, I'm no Abraham. I'm no Moses. I mean, come on, I am who I am, and I have this evil mind, and sometimes this dirty mind. Okay, I'm not Moses, I'm not Abraham. Okay, these guys are like I'm on a Christian level down here. The prophets or the preachers here, the prophets are here, and Moses is here, and Jesus is way up there. I'm kind of like a dud Christian here, but I am what I am. That's how I thought. But then I said, I saw this. Where Jesus called the disciples and his followers his friends. I never ever saw that before. And I started to think about it. And I said to Carol, I said, this is unbelievable. I said, all these years I never saw myself as Jesus as his friend, okay? Because you know why? I know me, okay? See, I know me. All right, I know really, really what I'm like when I'm not in here, okay? I know really how I think, the things that I say, the things that I do, the way I feel about things, okay? And that doesn't make me qualified to be a friend of God because I'm not right, all right? And I have this struggle, this tension back and forth here with I'm a child of God, But I never saw myself, like in that verse in James, as a friend of God. I never saw him like my friend, all right? I have, praise the Lord, I have Christian friends. I have a lot of Christian brothers and sisters. They're my friends, okay? There's certain people in this room, truthfully, that I can call up at 2:33 in the morning if I need something. It really is, okay? And they are my friends. I don't want to just say certain people who are, I don't want to offend others, but there are certain people in here that I can actually call if I need them because they're really my friend. Okay, but I said to myself, like, I don't ever feel like that with the Lord, all right? Until I saw this verse, okay? That Jesus actually, now here's the real staggering part of this. I didn't call him my friend. He called me his friend. Okay? He called me his friend. Which set this whole thing in reverse for me. Jesus, this precious Jesus who loves me, died on the cross for my sins. And I can understand that, but he actually calls me his friend. All right. So now, since that I read that, I said, well, now if I'm his friend, I have to do things that my friend would want me to do. sometimes that guy that customer that calls me up at work, that, you know, now I have to see this thing differently. Okay, amen. Now I have to see this as a Christian differently because Jesus is now. I realize he's always been my friend. Okay, I just didn't have the right perspective on it. Amen. All right, but Jesus now is not only my Lord, he's not only my Savior, okay? He not only took me from being a hater of God, a person who has an evil heart of unbelief, okay? He changed those things in me, and now he's made me into his child, okay? And more than that, he's actually made me his friend. That's something I never saw before. I never, ever saw this before, okay? And it has honestly made me think about so many things differently than what I ever thought of before, okay? The real Jesus actually changed my heart in this area also. And I always was in the slow learner section of school. So now it's 40 years. The Lord's so good to us. Okay, now let's read this over. Let's read this over real careful and slow. Now tonight we're going to have communion in a couple of minutes. I want you to think about this. This precious Jesus who calls you his friend, okay, is the one who actually died on the cross for your sins, okay? And he died willingly. We don't have time now to go into the other verses, but there's a ton of verses that he says, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it back up. Okay, in John chapter 10. Okay. This Jesus that loves us, who now calls us his friend, okay, died for our sins because this is how he looks at this. Let's go over this verse again here. John 15:13. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. This is what the Lord did. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. See, now there's the if. Okay? I've got to be careful now. I have to do what he wants me to do and commands me to do. And some of those times, and frankly, most of those times are involved with my mind thinking wrong thoughts or my big mouth. Okay? Where I get myself in trouble and I say things that I shouldn't say. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known unto you. And then I like this part at the end. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Amen. And you know what he chose me to be? He chose me to be. He chose me to be his friend. Can you imagine that? Okay? He chose me to be his friend. For real. May his name be praised. Now tonight, hopefully, we can all go home and we can go to that Bible verse that says, whatever we eat, whatever we drink, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. So now I can glorify the Lord. I can praise his name. I can lay on my bed. I can lift up my hands. I can say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my friend. Help me to live right before you and help me to walk in obedience before you that I might magnify your name. Then I can go to sleep. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Your word teaches us, Lord. Your word gives us strength, Lord. And your word tells us that you love us. You actually laid down your life for your friends. And Lord, you made us into your friends. Lord, we are evil people. We're sinful people. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17 that we're a wicked people. And the Bible says we're actually haters of God. But you've changed all those things in our lives. And you've actually made us into your friends. And Lord, you set your affections and love upon us. We just praise your name this evening. Thank you, Lord Jesus, how good you've been to us. In Jesus' dear name we pray, Lord. Amen.